Lovely, lovely to welcome you this morning, and let's turn in our Bible, and I've got everything except my message. Let me have this. I hope I've got it here. Otherwise, we will have an interesting service here. Okay, there we are. Cold does funny things to people, so you don't know what might happen today. All right, well, this is our final message on the Gospel of John. We did not intend it to be the 70th, but that's how it's turned out. And so it's the 70th message. We're in chapter 21, so if you'll turn to chapter 21 of the Gospel of John, we've had a night out on the sea, not so great, cold, couldn't catch anything. But then in the morning, we have had breakfast on the shore, and now we deal with Simon Peter. And so the 70th message is, "Lovest thou me?" And I'll ask Sam to come and read to us from verse 15 to verse 25.
John chapter 21, we begin at verse 15. "So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved, because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself, and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee, and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, Follow me. Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? Jesus saith unto him, If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. Then went this saying abroad among the brethren, that that disciple should not die. Yet Jesus said not unto him, He shall not die, but if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? This is the disciple which testifieth of these things, and wrote these things, and we know that this testimony is true. And there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. Amen. May the Lord bless the reading of His Word and His message today.
Let's bow for prayer. Our Father, we are thankful this morning that we've been able to have these times in this wonderful gospel and beginning from past eternity. In the beginning was the Word, and yet now there on the shores of Galilee, and Lord, so much for us, and learning to abide in Thee, and knowing that Thou art the vine, we are but the branch. All that we have is in thee. Without thee we have nothing. Knowing that there are some things we must do, that we must be born again, and that thou must be lifted up, and thou must increase, but we must decrease. And yet we must needs go through Samaria, there's to reach the lost, as it were. So, Father, so much has come before us, and we're thankful we could spend these Sunday mornings. And do bless as we will go to something else next week, we pray. But be with us today, and whatever a need might be on a heart, the heart has many needs, and a Christian's heart can even be buffeted, and we're thankful that a number of buffetings were dealt with as we came to shore, and there was a meal prepared for us, and there some of the things that trouble us are dealt with. So, Father, whatever a need, and if we're speaking to one this morning that has never been saved, and not repented of sin and believed on thee, help them to do that today, not to put it off. We don't know how much time we've got. So, Lord, do bless, do be with us. We ask and pray this now in Jesus' name for his sake. Amen. Amen. Well, this is a truly a wonderful chapter. Just going back a little bit to see where we've been, we began the chapter. They're out on the sea. It's a very troublesome evening. Peter says, "I go fishing." It's not as if he was just taking a little fishing journey. He's discouraged. "I go," and others followed his rather impulsive action without thinking it through. They go out there. They don't catch a thing. Christ now calls from the shore, "Have you any meat?" And they had to say, "No, we haven't." And then he tells them to cast the nets on the right side. And we've made the point there's a right side and a wrong side. And certainly in the matter of service, the Great Commission is so important just to get the gospel out to as many people as possible. But we looked at that. We saw how many fish they brought in, and we saw that probably the number may represent the numbers in the United, or the numbers in the of nations in the world at the time of the Lord's return, or something like that. So when we finally gather, when he finally calls the fishermen in and soul winners and harvesters and those that seek to sow, it will be demonstrated that, yes, there's been a gathering from all the world, some more, some less, but there will be a gathering. And so we looked at that. And then we saw that when they came ashore, there was a hearty meal. He said, "Come and dine." And yes, indeed, to abide in Christ, to worship Christ. When the disciples were first called, Mark chapter 4 uses a term that they might be with him. And that is our need, that yes, we serve Christ, but we are with him. 1 Corinthians 1 verse 9, we're called into the fellowship of his dear Son. So, yes, we've got a lot to do, but we know who the doer is, who we're doing it with, and who we are walking with. And as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. So we've learned some of these lessons. But we now come to the last message. It'd be nice if we could just stretch the book of John out a bit further, because it's really been a blessing for me to deliver these messages. But we've got the final message. And we've had breakfast, but now there is a matter that needs to be dealt with. And Simon Peter knew it was coming, and now it comes. The Lord, back in Luke chapter 22, said, "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he might sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not." He had said that he would deny the Lord three times. Peter said three times he wouldn't deny the Lord. He said others might, but I won't. Three times he did deny the Lord. And now we have three confessions, three questions. Simon, lovest thou me? Three times it comes. And just drawing from this, yes, he's going to be a fisherman, but before he really launches out again, and we saw last week, here was a dinner, here was a breakfast. We compared it with the breakfast or the dinner that was given Elijah at a time of crisis in his life. And the Lord said to Elijah, the journey is too great for thee. And Elijah had the dinner, had the breakfast. He continued in the strength of it for 40 days. Must have been quite a dinner. And so it is with Simon. There's a journey ahead for him. There are some things that need to be dealt with. The journey is too great. Sometimes before we set out with the Lord, there are matters that need to be dealt with. So this threefold statement that he made, "I'll never deny you," yet he did. Now he is being questioned by the Lord and preparing himself, in fact, for a journey which will take place. And so here we have it, and you'll notice he gave, before he didn't deal with Simon when he was hungry and cold. He feeds him. He takes care of him. Now we're going to deal with this. And that's kind of the way, you know, if there's an issue that needs to be dealt with, let's just get as comfortable as we possibly can, but now we've got to deal with it. And so it says in verse 15, "When they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these?" The question will come three times. I think I can probably sum it up before we can really launch out. It's the love of Christ. Before we can really launch out, there must be a love of the Bible. And before we can really launch out, love of self, he must increase, we must decrease. And so I'm going to draw those three things from these three questions. But he says, "Lovest thou me more than these?" He avowed that he did. "All men may deny you, but I will not. And yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee." And he saith unto them, "Feed my sheep." And so Simon Peter, as well as you and I, are called not only to get the gospel out. Mark chapter 6, verse 34, I've almost made this one of my life verses. I've just taken two parts of it, though. If you read it, the verse is longer than this. But it says, Jesus saw much people and taught them many things. So, yes, indeed, we see the harvest fields. We see the masses of people. And yet, those that come, we must teach them as much as we possibly can. And so, Simon Peter will be more than an evangelist. He will now be a shepherd, that feeds the sheep. And we feed them the Word of God. And it's a pretty big book. Now, there's bigger books. A typical Bible has got about 1,000 pages in it. That's quite a lot. Now, there's books that go on and on and on and on. So I'm glad, and this goes from Genesis to Revelation, so it's got a beginning and an end. But we need to figure out a way to teach as much of this book as we possibly can. And my heroes in the faith are those who have attempted it. Though, admittedly, different people have done it different ways. I've always recommended, if you want to listen to them on radio or on YouTube or wherever, I've liked J. Vernon McGee as an attempt to go through the Bible, and he tries to do it in that way. There's different ways to do it, but so feed my sheep, but we feed them the Word of God. And we try to take the Word of God, and certainly we've tried to go through verse by verse. We've tried to go through on Thursday evenings now. We're going through section by section, but we will be bringing out what I think we need the most as we go through. And so do join us on Thursday night if you're able. But feed the sheep. But we feed them with the Word of God, and not with a latest self-help book. I mean, the Word of God. We go to the Scriptures. That means we need to understand the Scriptures ourselves. So that was the first, lovest thou me. And then he comes back again, and lovest thou me, and the Bible does say the love of Christ constraineth us, and just a deep love for Christ himself. Later in this, as we come to the end of the chapter, we're going to see an example of the one disciple who was really noted for his love of Christ, and we will see that as we come to the end of the chapter. But then the question comes again the second time in verse 16, and he saith unto him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Now, he doesn't say more than these, so he leaves that out. By the way, in 2 Corinthians 10, verse 12, the Bible says, he that measureth himself by others is not wise, for they measure themselves by themselves are not wise. So we don't do that. We serve Christ. We're not measuring ourselves or others, but he said, I love you more than these, but no, that wasn't right. And so that is left off the question the second time. And he says, yea, Lord, thou knowest I love thee. I mean, after all, he kind of showed it there on the ship. The others stayed in the boat when the Lord appeared on the shore, but Simon jumped in, and he was splashing around in the water. But you know, people show their love of Christ in different ways. Splashing around in the water doesn't mean that he has more love for Christ than those that stayed in the boat with the ship and guided the boat ashore. You couldn't all jump in the water. So people show their love for Christ in different ways, but we can't serve him if we don't love him. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 14, the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. But the second time it comes again, and he says, this time he says, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee, feed my lambs. So we feed the older believer, but we also feed the young believer. And we have to do that. And we do have a good, you know, what we need first in the Christian life. This is really good, even if you're a sheep, not a lamb this morning. This is not bad to read. It's got the essentials of what we need, and it's the best I have ever seen. I got it years ago. I adapted it a little bit, but very good, very good. But then this would be more for the lambs. If I had one thing on the table that I might give to a person more experienced, just to kind of sharpen the focus of your life, I would probably take rightly dividing the word of truth. Very good. If you got a mastery of the 10 points in this, you would have in just 30 pages a pretty good grasp of the major teachings of the Word of God. So again, but we try to do both. We try both the lambs and the sheep. So Peter, he's going to be a fisherman. We're all called to be a fisherman. And then we're all called to, yes, feed the lambs, feed the sheep, but also feed the lambs. So very, very important. The first love, lovest thou me, I say, love for Christ himself. The second love, love for the Bible. You can't do a lot of feeding, you can't do a lot of service unless you love the Scriptures. Matter of fact, it's hard to separate the living Word from the written Word. We love them both. We love them both. And a verse that we saw some chapters ago, if you'll turn with me to chapter 14 and verse 23. 14 and verse 23. And notice this. So, we're serving God. We got the Bible now in hand. We're going to start feeding people the Scriptures. And in 14:23, it says, Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words. We could say a woman, the same, it means the same. And my Father will love him, and we will come and make our abode with him. Now, isn't that an amazing reason for loving and keeping the Word of God? Making as much of the Word of God as you possibly can in your life, you read it, you study it, and God says the Father, the Son will come and through the Holy Spirit make their abode with you. Well, that is wonderful. So the second love, it must, if he's going to feed sheep, if he's going to feed lambs, he must love the Word of God. The same with you and I. Then next one, he saith unto him the second time, love of, he said, feed my sheep. I'm getting my lambs and my sheep mixed up here. I think we began with lambs. We've got sheep now. Okay, in verse 16. Verse 17, here we've got the third, lovest thou me. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, feed my sheep. Now, here is one of those cases where a different word for love is used. You may know about this. It could have only been translated the way it's translated. It's love. And in the Bible, you've got a number of synonyms for the same English word. And it's often been pointed, you could never have translated it any differently. This is exactly what it means. It's love. But the first love in the Greek was agape. You've heard of agape love. It's a very strong love. The love that was used here is, yes, he says, he said unto him, Simon, son of Jonas, agapeo thou me. The answer, though, was different. In each previous time, Peter said, thou knowest that I agapeo thee. So the Lord used a strong word. Simon Peter used a strong word for love. Third time, the question comes again. It's a strong word from the Lord. But Simon Peter doesn't feel worthy of using the stronger word, and he uses a lesser word, phileo, which is still a strong love, but not quite as strong as agapeo. And just in humility. And so sometimes before God can use us as a fisherman, or as one who feeds the Word of God, we just have to come to our own senses and say, Lord, I know if I look in this heart, it's not as good as it ought to be. And which shall know every man the plague of his own heart. 1 Kings 8:38. And I know sometimes the love is strong, but sometimes the love can get a bit wavery. And so he used. And so again, he must increase, but we must decrease. Before honor is humility. We have nothing to brag about. And we want it to be a strong love, but sometimes we have to admit. And so Simon Peter, I know the English, it could not be translated any differently. But unless you wanted to embolden the first two loves and this third love, maybe just a normal typeface. But you couldn't do that. You couldn't do that. So that is the story here. So yes, in these three questions, we must love Christ if we're going to be a fisherman. We must love the Word of God. And then we must acknowledge he increases, we decreases. Before honor is humility. We know we're not home yet. We know the plague of our own heart. We know, yes, there's still the old nature. We know the buffetings of Satan. We cast it all before the Lord and say, Lord, thou must do it all. Thou must give me the love that I don't have, because I cannot produce it myself. And so these were things. And now again, that was a satisfactory answer. It wasn't quite as high an answer as the first two ones, but the Lord accepted it. And the Lord said, Simon, feed my sheep. Feed my sheep there at the end of verse 17. And so that's very good. So I think we're getting on the right foot now with Simon Peter. And then, but he says something rather cryptic, mysterious, in verse 18. You could draw a couple of conclusions from it. Something that maybe Simon Peter didn't fully understand. He says, verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whether thou wouldest, wherever you wanted to walk, By the way, don't let the THs and the STs, I know we have that in our King James Bible. These are what are known as a historic present. It links the past with the present and even the future. And it's an old thing in language. It's implied in the Greek. The modern versions leave it out. But it really stays there because the present isn't adequate and the past isn't adequate. Behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. Behold the Lamb of God which took away the sin isn't enough. Takes away, present isn't enough. Taketh is it links the past with the present. And so whenever you got an ST word or a TH word, think of the verb as this is something, it's got a past issue, it's got a present issue, it's joining the two together, and you take it out of the modern Bibles, and you've taken an important thing out. But we understand when people see this for the first time, they have some difficulties, but it's important. And so we'll, because we had some examples, I did want to mention that. But notice, Peter, you used to just do what you wanted to do. You would go where you wanted to go. Can't do that now. I'm directing you. I'm directing. No more, I'm going fishing. If I lead you to go fishing, by all means go fishing. But just don't take matters in your own hand. And just do what you want to do. In all thy ways acknowledge me, and I will direct thy paths. Proverbs 3:5-6. So we've got that. But then we've got here something beyond that. From a self-directed life to a Christ-directed life, but where this Christ-directed life will lead, Simon probably didn't really want to know. Whether thou wouldest, when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thine hands, and another will gird thee and carry thee whether thou wouldest not. And then spake he, signifying what death he should glorify God. It is believed that Simon Peter would die by crucifixion. And there will be no denials when he goes there. And so here was the journey is going to be a long journey for Simon Peter. But at the end, probably what will we say, 35 years after this was stated, he will die a martyr's death. So that is stated. That is stated. Now we're glad that Simon Peter is on the road. We're not going to have to back up. We're not going to have to deal with him any longer. He's on the path. He's not going to divert. Isn't that right? It's not right. It's not right. It's not right. Look at it. Look at it. Immediately, he looks at one of the other disciples. Now again, 1 Corinthians 10, verse 12. They measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. He immediately looks at John. And the disciple whom Jesus loved, verse 20, following, which also leaned on his breast at supper and said, Lord, and this is the one who said, this is what John had said, not what Peter said, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? In other words, let's talk about, we've talked about me long enough. Let's talk about John for a while. Let's get the focus off me and talk about John. Well, not really, because the Lord does rebuke him. And I know we need to help one another, but there comes a point where you cross a line and you're rather intruding. We help people, but there's such a thing as intruding into their space. And so that is what Peter was kind of doing here. By the way, John leaning on the Lord's chest or breast is only doing what the Son of God has done from all eternity with his Father. If you look with me at John chapter 1, verse 18. John chapter 1, verse 18. It says, no man, John 1, verse 18, no man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. Which is in the bosom of the Father, that's the same as leaning on his breast or chest. What John is doing here is no more than what the Bible says, what Christ says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. Just a fuller expression of it. So that's wonderful. Wonderful. But let's talk about John for a while. And notice how the Lord answered him. In verse 22, Jesus saith unto him, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to me? Follow thou me. The main thing for you, Simon, you follow me. You let John follow me. You let the others follow me. You concentrate on Peter. You concentrate on you following me. Now, don't worry so much about John or the others. You worry about yourself. Now we do, if we see somebody falling back, obviously we go to help them. But that's, so follow thou me. Follow thou me. You'll notice, if he tarry till I come. That's the way the Gospel of John ends. We don't have an ascension here. There's not any real separation here. You just follow me until I come. I'm coming. And so I'll appoint the way you leave the world, either by my coming for you or by your coming to me in death. But you just follow me until I come. By the way, that is the very way that the book of John began. In chapter 1, twice in that chapter, the disciples are coming to Christ, and he tells them, follow me. Just follow me. Just follow me. Follow me. Follow me. It ends. Follow me. I'm coming. In the meantime, follow me, follow me. And so, wonderful. And so, but the second coming is there mentioned. Now, again, they thought that emphasized that Christ would come very shortly, or that this disciple would not die until Christ came. Maybe not, but that's the way the Bible presents the second coming of Christ. It's imminent. It can be at any moment. It can be today. We don't know. But that the imminency of the second coming of Christ It's perhaps today. That's why we got perhaps today on our tract. That's the way the Bible presents it. Nothing between us and the second coming of Christ. No event. Don't have to wait for the temple to be built in Jerusalem. Don't have to wait for the Antichrist to come. Don't have to wait for the two witnesses. He can come right now. Some think there's going to be a war. Psalms 83, verse 4, might be. But we don't have to wait for it. Nothing. Don't wait for Armageddon. We're waiting for the second coming of Christ. It can be at any moment. That's the way the Bible presents it. But this, in verse 23, it says, then went out this saying abroad among the brethren that that disciple should not die. Yet Jesus said not unto him, he shall not die, but if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? The Lord appoints how we're going to leave the world, how each one of us will leave the world. And that's between him and the believer. But it was not for Peter to intrude into John's space on this matter. So he has to, follow. We like what the Bible says about the 144,000 in Revelation chapter 14, verse 4. It says, these are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. So isn't that wonderful? Just love Christ. Love the Bible. Humble yourself. Acknowledge. Oh yes, the heart isn't what it ought to be. But he can help our heart. And then follow me. Follow me. Follow me. And so that's the emphasis here. And then in verse 24, this is the disciple which testifieth of these things and wrote these things, and we know that his testimony is true. And there are many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. Amen. The world is finite. God is infinite. Christ is infinite. In him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. He made the world. As its creator, the world could not begin to tell us everything there is about Christ. About Christ. There is no departure in John. What it is, we follow him. No ascension, like in the other Gospels. We follow him. We just follow him. We follow him. We follow him. And so there on the shore, the Lord directs them, directs us. He restores, he directs service, he sustains. If a Christian falls, he brings them back like Simon Peter and comforts. But that raises the question, where should we go now? Should we because the subject that we've really been dealing with here is Simon Peter. And it would be natural for us maybe to just next Sunday go on to the book of Acts, because the first half of the book of Acts is Simon Peter. First 12 chapters. You want a good outline of the book of Acts? It's simple. Chapters 1 to 12 of Acts, Peter. Chapters 13 to 28 of Acts, Paul. That sums up the book of Acts. We could do that. We could do that. Or we could go, if we're going to deal with Peter, we could go somewhere else. The Lord said to Peter in chapter 16 of Matthew, thou art Peter. Peter has just confessed Christ. Thou art the Son of the living God. Christ responds by saying, thou art Peter, upon this rock I will build my church. The rock was not so much Peter, but Peter saying that great testimony. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. That is the rock of the church. It's people who have that testimony. They become stones, they become rocks. But the rock is the testimony. If you don't have that testimony, if Peter never said that, it was only when Peter said that that Christ made him a rock and said that, used that statement. But let's turn. There's two, right as we get to the end of the Bible, there's two epistles that are rock epistles. Building your life on these two epistles for the last day. Here are epistles that are both for the lambs and also for the sheep. For the young Christian, for the sheep. Peter was going to feed. We don't really see him feeding in Acts. He's been told three times he's going to feed sheep and he's going to feed lambs. It would be good, as we have dealt with that, to carry on with that thought and see how he does it. And of course, it was by inspiration of the Holy Spirit. But he is the subject of this final chapter, and we will continue with this subject next Sunday morning. And just to give you an example, if you would turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 4. And you talk about building your life upon a rock, and we do need a rock in these final days because things are very uncertain in the world. All sorts of things are happening. We don't know, but we can be built upon a rock. And that is one of the things that the Lord has done for us right at the end of our New Testament. And if you look at 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 4, it says, we could start at verse 1, chapter 1, but really there's so much here. And you notice, he says, feed my lambs. Well, you got lambs in verse 2 of chapter 2. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. As, you need to read that right. As newborn babes, now we have an idea how newborn babes desire milk. We've got a pretty good idea of that. So we should desire the sincere milk of the word that we may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone. Now the rock is not really Peter, it's Christ. Disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Ye also as lively stones. This is one reason why we use the King James Bible. All the modern Bibles say, ye also as living stones. Well, there can be a difference between something that's living and something that's lively. If it's lively, you know it's living. If it's living, it may not be, you may never know it. If you check it, take its pulse, maybe it's living. But here, it's lively. Lively. So I'm glad we're lively stones. Lively. Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable unto God by Christ. Wherefore also it is contained by in the Scriptures, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect and precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. It's all about stones. It's all about the rock. Unto the rock that is higher than I. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. We're going to spend some time. He's going to feed. Peter was commissioned to feed lambs. You got that here? He was commissioned to feed sheep. You've got that here. He was conditioned to make us strong and stable, like a stone, but a living, a lively stone. You've got that here. You've got a message for the unconverted here. You've got severe warnings. You've got messages for the believer at whatever state they're in. We're going to finish our course strong, lively stones. You've got messages here on the second coming of Christ. It's a great portion of Scripture. We're going to spend some time in 1st and 2nd Peter, overlooking it, taking out what we feel is the most needful for us. But, well, that's where we come, and it's a good place to take off. If the Lord tarries, if we're all still here next week, we'll take up with 1 Peter. And you might like to read 1 Peter. Read it through a couple of times. It's not a long book. 2 Peter is even shorter, but it's a great, two great epistles. And see how Simon Peter fulfilled what he was given by the Lord there on the shore. Let's bow for prayer. We're very thankful for the final message, but amazing how quick the time went. But Father, this morning we are thankful that you allowed us to go through yet another portion of thy word, and imperfectly, and there's so much we couldn't deal with or didn't or unable to. And yet, Lord, we're thankful for what we were able to grasp. And so, Father, we pray today that as we began, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world, past and present. It's happened. And if there's one here that has never been to thee and had their sins forgiven, we pray for that one today. And again, we pray as we read about sheep and lambs and different stages, and we pray that we would all grow in our knowledge of thee, grow in grace, as 2 Peter 3:18 tells us, in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And to become a lively stone, yet not moved about, firm and fixed and yet lively. Almost a contradiction for us, but yet both are true. And so we do pray as we, if you enable us, that we will have a wonderful time going through 1st and 2nd Peter. But do be with us now. Whatever a need might be on a heart, help that need to be met. as you dealt with different needs there on the shores of Galilee. You've not left us. We're following Thee. Help us, Lord, we pray, just to abide in Thee. Find our all in all in Thee. Draw close to Thee as the Apostle John did. Resting on Thee, we pray this in Jesus' name for His sake. Amen.